This morning, the title that the Lord has given me on this message is, Are We as the Dew of Hermon?
It's time for another Holy Ghost-inspired message from God's Word, recorded live at Living Water Church in Bridgeport, West Virginia. Now, here's Pastor Jerry.
Would you pray together with me? Father, thank you for another beautiful day that you have given to us. And thank you that you are working on our behalf daily. And Lord, thank you that you have a plan for each one of us. And we thank you, Lord, that today you're going to do what Pastor Aaron asked you to do. You're going to open the eyes of the blind and to teach us something today from your heart and your word. We thank you. And again, as Miss D asked you earlier, Lord, that our worship would be a sweet smell to you. And that your heart would be touched and blessed through our worship today. In the name of Jesus, God's people say amen. Amen, amen and amen. This morning is part 48 of getting to know the Holy Spirit. Actually, no, it is not. There are many more that could have taken place, but last week, according to what I heard the Holy Spirit say, that was enough of that series, and I want you to continue learning about me, the Lord said. But we're going to continue on here this morning. The Lord gave me an interesting message. And I want to share that message as we go on today. And again, I never know why God brings certain messages and for certain times, but that is not my business. My business is to bring what the Lord has given to me to bring. So would you go with me this morning to the book of Psalms? And we're going to start out in Psalm 133. Many of you have heard this before. Psalm chapter 133. And we're going to read the entire psalm today. Is that okay with you? There's only three verses, so don't get nervous. It's not like we're reading Psalm 119, okay? That's got a lot of verses. Psalm 133, this is David that wrote this, King David. He said, Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard. Not this Aaron, over here, okay? But Moses' brother Aaron, that went down to the skirts of his garments. As the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descends upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. Now, this morning, the title that the Lord has given me on this message is, Are We as the Dew of Hermon? Interesting title, and Rick looked at that this morning and said, this should be very interesting today. There's not too many sermons that are preached on this, are there? This all stems, the other morning as I got up early, and I was on a mission the other morning, and that mission was to take an unbeliever fishing. And it was awesome, and I always love that when I get to do that because, number one, I get to share little tidbits of information with these unbelievers, but I do it through the medium of fishing. And God has blessed, and it is amazing what God does. And I know some of you years ago used to make fun of me because of I went out casting instead of fishing. But I brought this individual out, and this individual then was watching me and learning how to do this whole kayak thing on the river. And as we went out there, I said, now, Lord, I'm really concerned about his soul. So please let me catch fish. And the Lord started letting me catch fish. And he was just like, wow, wow. You know, I want to do that. I want to do that. And so as we got going and he started catching a few fish, then I began just slightly to introduce the things of God. And I said to him, you will not believe the miracles that we have been seeing in our church. And he's like, huh? And so we get the opportunity to do that. It's so important that you take what you do and do it heartily as unto the Lord and let the Lord take care of the rest. And now, can I tell you that that individual got gloriously saved yesterday? No. But I believe he's on the way. We plant seeds and let God do the rest. But as I was on the way there, it was early in the morning, and there was so much dew that had just formed everywhere on the grass, on the cars, on the mailboxes and everything. It was extremely heavy dew the other morning. And you know how many of you, when you have that heavy dew and you get into the car, and I mean, the outside of the window just fogs up and you have to use the windshield wiper all the time, you know? It just fogs and fogs and fogs, and you hit that windshield wiper. And I was hitting that windshield wiper going, man, when's this stuff going to quit? And the Holy Spirit spoke to me, dew of Hermon. And I said, huh? What does that mean? What does that mean? And the Lord spoke that this was going to be the message today. Are we as the dew of Hermon? And it has to do with this particular psalm, where here God's word specifically is comparing the church's unity to dew. Interesting, huh? Because as you look at this, look at verse 3. Verse 1 says, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is just like the dew of Hermon and the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. So unity is symbolized by dew. So the next time that you see dew, I want you to think about unity and what God's word says and how he compares this on the church and what our responsibility is. Now, he compares it to the dew of Hermon. Now, how many of you have been to Israel? Let me see your hands, just the two of you back there. Now, one of the most interesting things, and John, I don't know if you remember this when we were there, but we went up on this little, it was a hill. It really wasn't a mountain. But then when you looked out, you could see this giant mountain, and it was snow-capped. Do you remember that, John? That was Mount Hermon. Judy, do you remember that? Now, it is snow-capped almost all year round, and it is the highest mountain in North Palestine, is 9,000 feet, right there in Israel. And so what David is referring to here is that this dew would descend also from Mount Hermon, but it would also hit Zion, which is Jerusalem, at the foot of all of these hills. So in other words, this dew came from God, where it not only watered Mount Hermon, where we are called as the church. Listen, see how interesting this is? We are called to bring unity to this world around us. Amen? Because what does dew do? I like that, you know? What does dew do? It was God's idea, and if you go back, you remember in the book of Genesis? Genesis chapter 2, jump over there with me. And this was God's idea when he created things. Genesis chapter 2, in verses 5 and 6. And every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and every herb of the field before it grew. My pages were stuck together. For the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was not a man to till the ground, but there went up a mist or a dew from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. It was God's idea, and think about what the dew did. The dew was designed by God to water. The dew was designed to give life to the ground that was around it. And this is what God says, the unity of brothers and sisters in Christ will give life to the world that is around us. Have you ever thought about that? You and I are called to give this dew, to give this life around us. As long as we are here on this earth, it is our responsibility, and that's why David said it is good and it is pleasant. And then at the end there, the Lord commands the blessing, even life evermore in the dew. So how many of you are being the dew of Hermon? I didn't see any hands go up. How good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Now, this is where God commands the blessing, is in the unity. And when a church is in unity, there is blessing of God upon that church. There is blessings of God, and God actually commands the blessings to come. How many of you want God's commanded blessings on you? Then we have to pay attention to this whole unity business, don't we? It is so important. Now, when we look around us, of course we notice that the world around us, and as, let me ask you this, as a body of Christ around the world, do you think that the church is in unity? The church is absolutely not in unity as a body of Christ. We want to know, and oftentimes we say, you know, where are the huge miracles, and where is the power of God working within the world today? God cannot command the blessing to come on a disunified church, because it is in the exact opposite. It is unpleasant in the eyes of God. And it is not good in the eyes of God and the condition that we see our churches in. And it's not just from around the world and other countries, but we're talking here in America, the disunity of churches. We call them denominations. In other words, that's a fancy name that I believe that the enemy created in order to disunify the body of Christ. Because this one believes this, and this one believes that, and oh my, we can't associate with you because you believe this. And you believe that. We cannot associate with you. You know, several years ago, I was invited to go to a conference, and it was with a particular denomination that the pastor was a part of. That denomination invited me to go, and I went, and I'm telling you, I felt like I was so out of place. I felt like I had a big wart right on the end of my nose that everybody was looking at and saying, "You're not part of us. You're not part of us." Now, that disunity shows amongst the churches right now, because there is not a unity that God has called us to be in amongst our believers as a whole. And I don't know why God is bringing this to us, but I know in particular that God is expecting us as believers. If there is a believer that you know, they believe in Jesus Christ, they are truly saved, they are born again, have fellowship with them. Now, they may be part of a denomination that doesn't believe what you believe. And the point of it is, maybe they have been taught their whole life that way. But God expects us to have a unity among brethren and not to treat each other as if you are a dysfunctional individual, a dysfunctional part. I'm not going to have anything to do with you. And an amazing thing when I'm in the midst of certain groups that mainly are from a certain church, and it is amazing to me how you feel so out of place. And that should never be. Never ever be. And when it comes to Living Water Church, I want the blessing of God commanded upon us so that when others come into our congregation, we love them. And we are never as a church to treat them any other way than you would treat someone in your fellowship here together. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
That's the heart of this pastor. And why we do that. Because they are brothers and sisters in Christ. And I want the blessing commanded on Living Water Church for that to happen. Will you agree together with me on that? This is so important because God's Word has so much to say about unity. I'm only going to give you a couple of these scriptures because there are a lot of them. But turn with me over to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. The Apostle Paul, he knew that this was a key for the churches that he had started and that he had worked with. He knew this particular thing about God, that God would command His blessings on the church that would do this. Listen to this. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind, the same judgment. For it has been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them that are of the house of Chloe, and there are contentious ones among you. Now this I say, that every one of you says, I am of Paul, I am of Apollos, and I am of Cephas, and I am of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? Now, this gives us front and center what God's Word says about divisions among the body of Christ, does it not? And we are not, listen, you are the body of Christ. We are the body of Christ. And that we are to all speak the same thing and there ought to be no divisions among us at all. Now, unfortunately, there are in some churches something that we call cliques. Anybody ever been in or seen some of those cliques? These things ought not to be within the body of Christ at all. Regardless of your financial status. If you are a brother or sister in Christ, we are to treat each other in the exact same way. Doesn't matter what your status is. If you have this particular occupation and wow, this one, you know, he works in a field digging ditches. No difference. There ought to be no divisions in the body of Christ. And particularly in Living Water Church, that is one of the things that I work for, that there will be no cliques, no divisions within this church. And if I hear about it, I'm going to deal about it. Amen? You know, because it doesn't matter whether I'm better looking than Tucker. Sorry, bud. We love one another. There ought to be no divisions among us. Now, 1 Peter chapter 3. Again, the Apostle Paul talks about this in all of his letters, but I wanted to bring about another individual in the Scriptures. This is Peter. And see what Peter has to say about it. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8. Finally, be you all of one mind, having compassion of one another. Love as brethren. Be pitiful. Be courteous, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that you are thereunto called, that you should inherit a blessing. Did you see that? That is Peter. And again, what does he refer to? You inherit a blessing when you are of one mind and of one accord. You get a blessing. How many of you want a blessing? If you want to know the heart of God is unity. Unity within a body creates the inheritance and the command of blessing. And I believe Living Water Church has the blessing of God on it. I believe that. Brother Rick and I talk about this all the time, that we have the blessing of God because God commands the blessing, because we are striving to be of one mind, one accord, and in that place of unity where we are not creating, well, you know what? I just don't like Sister Laura. I just don't like the way that she gets up there. You know, I just don't like that. And that's Charlotte. And I wish that pastor would get a toupee. We laugh at these things, but these are the kind of things that are going on in churches. And they create such disunity amongst the people. But when we go beyond that, and we endeavor to keep this bond of unity that God has given to us, the blessing of God shows up on that. Somebody say amen. You will inherit a blessing, is what Peter says. Now, coming back to this dew again. As the dew is a blessing to the earth, we are called to be a blessing to those around us. And it comes from this unity. Now, unity should produce love. Unity should produce love. We're going to get a little mathematical equation, Pastor Aaron. I know you like math here, right? He likes numbers. We're going to do a little math here, though. When we have unity, that produces love. Colossians chapter 3. We jump over there again. Colossians chapter 3, verse 12. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness and long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, so as Christ has forgiven you, so you do also. And above all of these things, put on love or charity, which is the bond of perfectness, or another word of perfectness is unity. In other words, when we put on love, that brings along unity. In other words, we are going to love people regardless of those things that they fall short on. How many of you fall short on some things? Come on, raise your hand if that's you. All right, we have a unanimous decision. Because in and of ourselves, we have not the perfectness, right? The perfectness. But in the bond of love and loving one another, that brings about unity. Okay? That brings about, I love you no matter what your faults are. Now, I encourage you, something that the Lord began to have me say to individuals years ago. It doesn't matter, and this is what the Lord instructed me to say. It doesn't matter what you do. It matters not what you do. There is nothing you can do to make me stop loving you. Nothing. I encourage you to start saying that to your brothers and sisters in Christ. There's nothing that you can do. Because sometimes we make our love conditional. And we say, well, I love you if you do the way I like it. But if you don't, then I don't love you anymore. You know what? If you make me mad, I don't love you anymore. If you do something that I don't like, I don't love you anymore. That's not what love is. The bond of love is, it doesn't matter what you do, I'm still going to love you. And that even includes John Thompson. I'm picking on you, brother, this morning, aren't I? Doesn't matter. I'm still going to love you. And when you get that in your mind and in your heart, unity starts to develop amongst this body of Christ. And then the blessings of God are commanded upon us because there is nothing that Lisa can do, nothing that will make me stop loving her. Nothing. And some people say, yeah, but I can't say that to some people because they're taking advantage of me. You can say it. And you can demonstrate your love to them because let me ask you this. Is there anything that you can do that will make Jesus stop loving you? Is there any sin you can do that will make Him stop loving you? God loves you. Now, the Holy Spirit will chastise you and want to bring you back into the things of God, but He will never quit loving you. As a matter of fact, I say this and have said it, that the Lord will love somebody all the way to hell. Because it's not His choice that they go there. It's their choice. He loves them, and nothing that they do will make Him stop loving Him. And so if this is what we get into here, God will command His blessing on us. So unity and that do produces love. And then love then goes on to bring people to faith in Christ. John chapter 13. John chapter 13, verse 34. A new commandment, Jesus said, I'm giving unto you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, and that you love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. You know, the thing that goes the furthest when it comes to people getting saved? Watching us. What we do as a body of Christ. And what you do. And listen, some people say, well, that's fine. They can watch us as a church, but at home, I'm just going to do what I want to do. No. You know what people are watching? They're watching your marriage. They're watching your relationship with your kids. They're watching everything about you to see whether or not there's unity there. to see whether or not there's love there. Because what is the biggest complaint that unbelievers have when it comes to the church? They're a bunch of hypocrites. That's all they are, is hypocrites. They say one thing and they do something different. If you want the world to come to Christ and be disciples of Jesus, you have to have unity within your church, within your family, within your relationships, and show love one to another. That's what brings people. This is how the world will know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another, and if you're in unity one with another. That's how people will come to Christ. So again, I'm asking us, are we as the dew of Hermon? That dew that God brings to water and to nurture plant life, to nurture the world around us. Are we that? Are we being that? That's the heart of God. That's the heart of God. Jesus demonstrated this, did he not? Ephesians chapter 4. Now I talked about this when it comes to people of other denominations. How we treat them. If they're saved, there are brothers in Christ and sisters in Christ. I loved it that Laura and Kathy and Judy testified on our Wednesday night Bible study of everything that God did. And God said, it's time to come together in unity. And there were ladies of all different faiths, denominations, all different colors. And they were praying one for another. Coming together in a unity. And you know what happens when that happens? The blessing of God comes. Did you guys experience the blessing of God? God commands it to come. In other words, God looks at that and he says the blessing, get down there now. Bless them. Bless them. And this is what God does. Ephesians, Paul talked about this. Ephesians chapter 4. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation where you are called. With all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. You are to forever endeavor to keep this unity. There is one body, one Spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, through all, and in you all if you are saved. Endeavor to keep unity. We are not to treat others like they have a wart on their nose, because they're from a different denomination. Oh my. Don't do it. Don't do it, because you will lose the blessing of God when you do that. Do not. Now, but some say, yeah, but Pastor, that's the way they treat me whenever I'm around. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter if that's how they treat you. Recently, I was in a gathering again with folks from that were mainly from another denomination, another church. And I felt like I was from the other planet. But I chose that I was loving those individuals. They are my brothers and sisters in Christ. And that's what God wants us to do. And so I made that very clear that I was talking to them, whether or not they were talking to me. Because they're my brothers. And this is what the word of the Lord says. And this is where, see, one thing you have to understand, when you don't do this, God doesn't command that blessing. But I want the blessing. I want God's blessing. And so we keep God's word. Don't worry if they don't do it. We must do it. Now, I want to shift gears just a little bit here and say, okay, we know this now. Let's talk about this commanded blessing, like the dew of Hermon. What happens when we keep unity? Matthew chapter 18. And again, you know, these are familiar passages of Scripture. But now it's going to, I hope, make a little bit more sense to you. Matthew chapter 18, verse 19, Jesus was speaking here and he said, "Again, I say to you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done of them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in their midst." Now, I read it, my version said, "There am I." But in some of the translations, the proper language there in the Greek is, "There I am." Have you heard the "I am" somewhere before? Some of you may not have ever seen this, but sitting right behind Aaron and Judy in the back, there is something that says, "I am." You remember when Moses said, "Who shall I say sent me?" He said, "Tell them the I am sent me." So I want you to think about this, that Jesus is saying here to us, if two of you shall agree, or two of you shall come together in unity over something, it might be done. Is that what it says? Did you just read that? What did it say? It might be? It says it shall be done. It shall be done. Where two or three agree, where there's two or three that come together in agreement, listen to the power of the words of our Lord. It shall be done. And that's where faith begins to build here. In agreement. True agreement. Where there is nothing else except we are coming together for that particular thing that is on our hearts and that we bring before God. Now, I've said this. This church has a heart for little kids. And young ones. And for some reason, our church just gathers together in that agreement when it comes to little ones. And those little ones are healed. I mean, we saw it happen time and time again. Years ago, Brother Lee was telling us about Baby David. Some of you may remember Baby David that we prayed for. Baby David was born with a hole in his heart and wasn't expected to live, let alone do well. And sorry, I forgot to turn that thing off. But yet God did a miracle because we prayed and we came together in agreement and God did a miracle with Baby David. I think Paula brought some individuals to us. We prayed for them. We also prayed, I remember an instance when Betty Hall was in the back of the sanctuary and she got a text that this little one was not doing well and about to die. And what did our church do? We stopped and we prayed. There was a unity there and God healed that little kid, that little child. Is there anything too difficult for God to do? But it all hinges on agreement. Now, we have seen God do such miraculous things in our midst here recently. And that needs to bring about more of a unity within us as a body of Christ that we can truly say, with God, all things are possible. You see, because disunity amongst our hearts and our spirits say, "Yeah, I know that's what God says, but this one's really tough. I mean, I kind of doubt that this one's going to happen. But I'll pray together with them anyway." If that's the way you feel, truly, I don't want you to pray. I don't want you to come in with that prayer together with those of us that are going to agree as touching this. Now, some may say, you know, Pastor, you're off the deep end here with this. You know, God's going to do what God's going to do. No, that's not what Jesus said. He said, where two of you come together, or three, and agree as touching anything, it shall be done. Do you think that Jesus is lying to us? He is not. That is the Amplified Version in verse 20 says, the I am will be in the midst of that unity. Now think about it. God Himself shows up in the unity of the prayer, in the unity of the body, when they are in agreement for certain things. Listen, I can tell you that that works, it works, it works. The evening that Charlotte was in the hospital and we were given word that Charlotte probably wasn't going to make it, this church went into unity and said, we don't think so. When Lee was here, we went into unity. We're going to call it unity mode. Right? And maybe you'll hear me say that occasionally. Let's go into unity mode here. Because that's like that dew that's falling and nourishing and bringing the command of God of blessing. Somebody say amen here. Nothing will be impossible. Jesus did not put limitations on this. He didn't. He did not. Can anybody show me where there's a limitation there? As touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done. That is what this power of unity does. Now, the Hebrew word that is used there in Psalm 133 when he says, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. I want to just close off by explaining to you what unity really is. The word means to be knit together. That's what the word means, to be knit together. It does not mean, folks, that God wants us all to be cloned and to be exactly the same, and to think exactly the same way. That's not what being in unity is. Being in unity means that we are all knit together. Because how many of you know that you don't think the exact same way as the person sitting beside you? Now, Laura and I have been married so long, we think exactly the same. Just like Aaron and Sheila, right? And Rick and Jackie, oh my goodness, they always think the same. What, Jackie? I heard that through the camera. Okay. But even the newlyweds sitting back in the back, I know they think exactly the same, right? Not so much. So you see, unity has nothing to do with the way that you think, so to speak. It has to do with being knit together. And so, some of you, anybody knit out here? Anybody do knitting? Okay, used to. All right, what you're doing when you're knitting is you're taking separate things and you're putting them together, right? And you're intertwining them one with another. I'm not an expert at that, okay, Jane? Okay? But I know that that's what you're doing when you're knitting separate pieces together. And that's what God does with His people. He knits us together where it is no longer what I think, what you think, what she thinks, but we are going to come together in the agreement of this thing here. And we are going to agree and come together, because when you are knit together, you become stronger. You become stronger, And that thing happens that we bring together. So it's coming into an agreement, and it is laying down what I think. But I'm agreeing together with what God thinks. You see the difference? I'm agreeing together with what God thinks. And when we have a situation that occurs in our lives or in our church, what does God think? And let's all blend together and knit together into that. And man, God says, whoa, I see that. Get down here. Bless. Bless. Now, that has to do with individuals as well and how we treat other people, because it means to be knit together, harmonized together. It's like a symphony. There's a whole bunch of different instruments that are there, but they blend together into one sound. They blend together into what is heard. Now, many of you don't know a whole lot about recording. Do you? Does anybody know a lot about recording in this place? Brother Rick knows a little bit about it. But I want you to understand that the way what you hear on the radio, they didn't just come into the studio and everybody just played and it was all there, one beautiful thing that you hear. That's not the way that it works in the studio. Oftentimes the way it happens is there's various different instruments that are being recorded separately on separate tracks. And then the master mixer comes in and he takes all of those tracks. There's the guitar track, the bass track, the drum track, the vocals track, the background singer's track, the violin, the clarinet, all these different tracks, and then they mix them together to where you hear one thing. And most people don't realize that that is all going on. All you hear is the song. And you say, I love that. That sounds so wonderful. We see this is what God does. He puts this all together to where it is one song. And when we are one song, the blessing of God comes. So, as we close out here, it is our choice to come together in unity and to blend together in that knitting and that harmony and let God do His work. And God, listen, I will tell you that I believe that there are greater things for this church to do. Amen. It doesn't matter what the rest of the world and the rest of the body of Christ is doing out there. God has called us to unity. And we will be unified with those brothers and sisters that are out there that are truly saved brothers and sisters. You will be unified together with them, and we will not treat them any differently than our brothers and sisters here within our congregation. That's number one. Number two, we will come together in a unity to see God move and command the blessings to come within our church and loving one another. That love will be shown to our families. That love will be shown to our loved ones, to our co-workers, to those that God brings our way, that say they love one another. Behold how good and how pleasant it is when brothers dwell together in unity. And loving, actually loving one another. And there's nothing that you can do. Nothing that will make me stop loving you. Okay? Nothing. Can we say that? Can we say that to others and let God work on our hearts to bring that unity and that we love people regardless of who they are and what they have done? Sometimes it's difficult, isn't it? But when you make the commitment and you say, God, I'm going to truly say that, to individuals, there is nothing you can do that will make me stop loving you. Well, they may challenge you sometimes. Tucker may challenge you. I love Tucker. I do. But God's heart is, He wants to pour out the blessings. He wants to. He wants to, and He's waiting for the unity. And it's so awesome. God looks at our heart, and I want you to understand, I brought up some people that are believers in Christ that I've known for 40 years since Oregon, Alan and Rita. I brought that up to our congregation, and do you know our church was able to send them $1,000? Isn't that a blessing? We don't know them personally, do we? But your love reached out and will touch these lives in a way that we will never know. Father, thank you for your word today. Thank you, Lord, that you have already poured out the blessing upon us. You commanded that. And you commanded the inheritance to come upon us already. But Lord, we want more. I believe that there's more for this church, and the power of God being poured out, the blind seeing, the lame walking, the dead being raised, God, people coming to faith in Jesus Christ because of our unity, because of our knitted togetherness, God. I believe that, and I believe your word for our people, and I pray, God, that that would be our heart. And that we would come together in one accord to be as the dew of Hermon that is poured out on those around us. And I'll thank you for that, Father, in the name of Jesus. Amen.
We thank you for listening to today's message and pray that the Holy Spirit touched your heart. If you would like to support this ministry, please send your donation to Living Water Church, 1000 Hall Valley Drive, Bridgeport, West Virginia, 26330. Living Water Church is a 501c3 nonprofit organization. Your gifts are tax deductible.